Good morning. It's September 28th, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is Dives and the Great Divide. My first reading of Scripture comes from Psalm 17, verse 6 through 9. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. And my second reading comes from a very familiar passage in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. And he answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Dives and the Great Divide. When I was about 11 years old, my father and stepmother took most of their children on a summer trip to Colorado. And at that time, that included my paternal grandmother and another family member on this trip from Oklahoma to Colorado. So we drove from Oklahoma to Colorado. We went through the panhandle of Oklahoma, cutting through the panhandle of Texas, through Mexico, then up into Colorado. And we stayed a week in cabins. And for your reference, we stayed in a place that's called Crested Butte. And it was there that I fished, caught trout, we hiked, and we drove up because my father used my grandmother's Lincoln Continental to trailer a Jeep. And as we got established and settled in, we took that Jeep and we went into the mountains. Now, luckily, one day, it was just my father and the kids. My stepmother wasn't there, nor my grandmother. And unfortunately, as we were talking, our Jeep flipped over. Thank goodness for those crossbars. Those crash bars, I should say. Because if we didn't have those crash bars, we would have been seriously injured. Now, believe it or not, from that trip, it was a gang of motorcycle guys, and I'm not making this up. A gang of motorcycles came up this mountain pass, saw this Jeep flipped upside down with a bunch of kids and a single solitary father, and they graciously flipped it back over. The Jeep started up no problem, and we went home. It was a trip I never, ever forgot. My first trip to Colorado. I also remember that every single day in the early afternoon, it would rain. It was like clockwork. If I recall correctly, it was between 3 and 4 p.m. It would rain, and then it would clear out. You know, one of the highlights of that trip to Colorado was driving through the clouds on the Continental Divide, or what others have called the Great Divide. You know, geologists call it the spine or backbone of the continent. For the Rocky Mountains, this is the highest point. And it separates the water that flows into rivers and streams eastward into the Atlantic Ocean and the Gulf of America now, to those that flow westward to the Pacific Ocean. The Great Divide is about 3,000 miles long from Montana to Mexico. Isn't it amazing how drops of rainwater, or snowflakes, or ice, or hail, starting out in the same place in the heavens, and yet depending on where they fall on the Continental Divide, will find themselves in two different oceans, the Pacific and the Gulf of America and the Atlantic. It is the same way with people. Let me elaborate. People can have the same backgrounds and the same opportunities coming from the same families and geographic areas. They can have the same genetic material, and you can see it in their gifts and their abilities, certainly their looks. And not surprisingly, they would have the same upbringing, the same morals, being taught the same ethics and values. And yet, when they die and they go into eternity, they will wind up literally in two different worlds. Sadly, never to see each other again, which is very distressing and upsetting. The two men in Jesus' parable had little in common. Even though this is a parable, Jesus gives us a view, a glimpse, in the unseen world. And in this parable, he presents us the fate of two men who died. One man dives going into torment, and Lazarus going into paradise, being at the very side of Abraham, one of the patriarchs. What a deeply contrasting story. These two men were different and not alike, not only in life, but into eternity. In life, one was treated like a prince and the other like a pauper. In life, one had plenty of material possessions and resources and comfort at his disposal, and the other one had very little, if anything, at all. In life, one man loved money and wealth, and the other man had no money. From the womb to the tomb, these men had a great divide between them, just like there is a huge divide between two groups of people who live all over the world, and that has been true down through the centuries and across the ages. All of us live in a world that has throughout it this great divide. And this parable tells us something more than wealth and poverty. This parable of Jesus, given to the Pharisees, hints at something larger than wealth and abject poverty. It points to something we all know either intuitively or instinctively, that, or as a result of being alert and attentive to the reading of Scripture. We are all divided by a spiritual decision and encounter. Let me read again verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived in luxury every day. And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. What a vivid picture and a stark contrast between Dives and Lazarus. From the appearances, the differences are quite obvious. One is rich, dressed in purple, which was a color for royalty, wearing fine linen as undergarments, which was also and still is today very expensive, a true linen object. He fared sumptuously, and that gives you the impression that this man was having a banquet every day. He feasted daily, and he lived extravagantly. He had anything and everything money could buy, and would probably appear on an old TV show in this country that some of us are familiar with, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. On the other hand, we have the poor man named Lazarus. What is a little unusual is that names are given in the parable, in this particular parable by Jesus. He does not typically give names to characters in his parables. And this poor man, Lazarus, had very little or nothing to eat at all. He had nowhere to sleep or to lay his head. He had no doctor to treat his wounds. He just had dogs who were licking his sores. He was a poor. He was as poor as the other man was wealthy. Now please, please, do not fall for the idea or theology that says that this man was condemned because he was well off and the poor man accepted because he was poor. God does not bless or put a premium on poverty, nor does he penalize prosperity either. And folks, that's where the socialists and the Marxists get it all wrong. And that's where church theologians get it wrong too, if they accept the premises of Marxism and socialism. You know, I read one pastor put it this way. It is not a vice to be rich, and it is not a virtue to be poor. Some of the greatest men and women in the Bible, from Job to Joseph to Abraham to David to Esther to Hannah to Solomon, and really if we carry this over into the Christian church, for examples, from John Templeton to J. Howard Pugh to Jay Cook to the DeVos family to John Tyson, who were tremendous benefactors and philanthropists, for many people, both inside the church and outside the church, they used their wealth to make the church and the society and the communities they lived in better. The major difference between these two men in Jesus' parable, and really between the Pharisees and his disciples, was not what they owned, but who owned them. Think about that. The problem and great temptation for well-off or wealthy people is to think they have everything they need in life. But the most important thing they need in life they lack, and that is faith and trust, devotion and love of God. Wealth without acknowledgement and humility to God leads to the greatest forms of poverty ever. Spiritually, it is hubris and arrogance. You know, historically, and I'm sure it's still true today in certain cultures, names have meaning. And dives in Latin simply means rich. Whereas Lazarus simply means God is my helper. In God I trust. How many people, both wealthy and poor, are lost, separated by their sins, and refuse to repent of their deeds and their lifestyle choices? This is true of wealthy and poor people. You will find miserable, hateful, egocentric, selfish people that are homeless, as you are finding someone living in a mansion. Whether a man or a woman goes to heaven depends on whether they believe and embrace the bread of life, and whether they gave bread away to others. It's the greatest of the commandments that Jesus was asked, to love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind and your body and all your strength, and to love others as yourself. Another obvious point we learn from this parable of Jesus is that we are all divided by physical death. Let me read verse 22 and 23. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. One man was carried away by angels, and another man was buried. Here you see explicitly the great divide. We cannot always see who belongs to God and who does not. It was the custom of the day for honored guests to feast next to the host. Lazarus was carried by angels to the most honored place a Jewish person could have imagined, and that was by Abraham's bosom or Abraham's side in the very heart of paradise. Poor people's bodies in many ancient cultures, when they died, were placed in a common grave along with other poor people or criminals. And oftentimes their bodies were cremated and burned. This man, the poor man, Lazarus, had no funeral. But I would say he had fantastic pallbearers, because his pallbearers were angels who carried him into paradise. On the other hand, the rich man with all his resources was given a proper burial. He had a funeral. His funeral most likely was expensive. And most likely, given that time and air, there were mourners who were paid to cry over his coffin, over his demise and death. And like many cultures, past and present, people probably offered flowery eulogies for his life. Now, if you were very wealthy, some rich people embalmed their bodies with expensive spices, and they were wrapped in the finest of linen. The bottom line is still the same. Dives died and he was buried. Death has no favorites, and it will come to all of us one day. Death's grip has been compared to like that of a bite from a pit bull. A pit bull's bite is unbelievably strong. It is tenacious and fierce. When a pit bull latches onto another dog or a human being, not surprisingly, there are times when that pit bull has to be shot and killed, or their jaws broken in order to get them to release their grip on that animal or human being. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all going to die one day. But if you believe, and if you love the Lord, there is no need to be terrified of death. People we know will be carried into the very presence of God, and people we know will go into a Christless eternity filled with regret, horror, and shame. The Great Divide. One man was eternally glorified with God. The other man was eternally horrified without God. One man entered into the joy of the Lord. One man entered into the judgment of the Lord. One man went from rags to riches. One man went from riches to rags. One man was comforted. The other man was tormented. There is a road that leads to hell, but there are no roads that lead out of hell. It is a dead-end street. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a sober message and a reminder of the great divide among us. Let me quote from one of the greatest thinkers and writers of Christianity from the 20th century. Quote, "There is no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than hell, if it lay in my power. I would pay any price to be able to say truthfully, all will be saved." And that comes from the mind of C.S. Lewis. Let me share this humorous story, but it illustrates the message. A Sunday school teacher told his class about this parable, and he highlighted Lazarus' end and the rich man's end. How one went to paradise and the other went to torment in Hades. He asked his class, "Which would you rather be?" One boy raised his hand and said, "Well, I'd like to be like the rich man while I'm alive, and then like Lazarus when I'm dead." I think most of us would have that same wish as well. We have to decide, as does everyone else, which king and kingdom do we want to be a part of or not? Will we surrender our will to Christ, or will we decide to go our own way? That is the great divide. Amen.